This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Scott Simon, and each night we're here to answer your questions.
Hi, my name is April Wilson, and I am in Salt Lake City, Utah.
This is Allison Cohen.
My name is Marshall.
Srinivas Pendiala from Houston, Texas.
I've just got questions about how to safely shop when you're at the grocery store.
Is there going to be a national mandate for masks and PPE?
If I got COVID-19, could I pass it on to my cats?
I just feel that I've been put in a situation where I'm not actually taken care of as an employee.
Could you please elaborate on this topic?
Thank you so much.
NPR journalists and outside experts are on hand to offer you facts, to tell you what we know and correct some of the misinformation floating around. And when we don't know something, we'll tell you that, too. You can send us your questions about the pandemic and the way we live now at npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, you can use the hashtag NPR Conversation. Each night, we begin the National Conversation by answering the question, what happened today? The International Monetary Fund's chief economist, Geeta Gopinath, warned that this could be the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression.
We are projecting global growth in 2020 to fall to -3%.
And that could mean a loss of $9 trillion. President Trump announced the U.S. would stop funding to the World Health Organization while they review its coronavirus response. The president also reversed course and said he would work with governors to get the country up and running.
And what I do is going to be done in conjunction with governors.
Yesterday, Mr. Trump said he could override governors and reopen the country. Michigan's governor, Gretchen Whitmer, told NPR she'll work with whoever is in the White House.
Remember that the enemy is COVID-19. It's not one another.
Illinois' Governor J.B. Pritzker told NPR they need more from the federal government as cases rise.
The truth is that the federal government has really been more of a hindrance than a help in most of the testing issues.
New York City's mayor, Bill de Blasio, said that social distancing could continue into the summer as the state struggles with testing.
I vividly remember when my kids were teenagers. It would have been really tough to say to them that you got a whole summer ahead and you still have to practice social distancing and you still have to stay in a lot, but that could well be the case.
We start today by looking at the situation of essential workers. We know and depend on them. Grocery store clerks, gas station attendants, nurses, postal workers, police officers, and so many others. We've received a number of questions from essential workers and their loved ones. We're going to bring in now Shannon Liss Reardon for some answers. She's an employment lawyer based in Boston and currently has emergency motions filed against Uber and Lyft over their sick pay policies relating to COVID-19. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We've got two questions about how postal workers are not being provided proper protection in the workplace. This is the first from Steve in Minnesota.
I work for UPS. I work in what's called the sort aisle. Basically, it's about a 2-foot aisle, and we're subjected to stand next to each other, basically shoulder to shoulder. There's no PPE provided, and we're also not provided with any kind of hazard pay. I was just wondering how we can get UPS to be held accountable to the standards that other businesses are being held to.
And let's hear next from Harold in Albany, Georgia.
UPS and FedEx aren't providing protective equipment to their associates. So if one of them became sick or died from it, would they be held liable for it?
And, let me turn to you. What's your immediate answer?
Sure. So first of all, let me just say, I'm going to give some general guidance based on these questions. Of course, this shouldn't be considered legal advice because that would require more detailed discussion and consultation. But generally speaking, for Steve in Minnesota, if your employer is not taking the protective measures that they should be taking, for instance, if you are an essential worker and you are still able to work, if it's possible in your workplace to be at least 6 feet away from everyone, that's what should be happening in your workplace. There should be protective gear that would protect you. If you don't feel that you're getting the protections that you should get, first of all, you should let your employer know. I always suggest that be done in writing, not just orally. So send an email to your boss so that you have a written record. If the situation is not taken care of, you can file an OSHA complaint, and OSHA has set up a website you can do a complaint right on their website. And if you do that, you should do it quickly because it has to be done within 30 days. And if you make that kind of complaint to OSHA, you're protected from retaliation. If you're a member of a labor union, you should definitely talk to your union to see what they can do and whether there's any activity that they're planning or could plan. And even if you're not a member of a labor union, you are protected if you join together with your coworkers to complain about or organize in any way to protest an employer not making your workplace safe. And you'd be protected under the National Labor Relations Act from any retaliation for bringing those concerns to your employer. So I would definitely recommend those considerations.
Me ask, though, should you report for work?
Well, so that is a big question that a lot of people are struggling with right now. If you are being required or asked to work in a situation that you don't feel is safe, then no, you shouldn't. And I think there would be a good argument that your employer should still continue to pay you. You shouldn't be let go if you are ready and able to work, but you're not being provided with a workplace. If your employer could make the workplace safe and you're not being provided with that safe workplace, I think you've got an argument that you should continue to get paid. You can also have a conversation with your employer about what their paid sick leave plan is and make use of that. You may also qualify under your state law for paid sick leave, and you might be eligible under the new federal legislation for enhanced sick pay, family leave. If, for instance, if you have a child whose school has been closed or whose daycare has been closed, and worst case scenario, there is unemployment, and there's been expanded unemployment under the recent federal legislation, which makes a lot more workers eligible, even if you wouldn't have been eligible before the pandemic. If you aren't going to work and it's tied in some way to the pandemic, you're probably going to be eligible to collect unemployment.
And what about Harold's question? If God forbid, someone became sick and died, would their employer be liable for it?
So if an employee is injured or harmed at work, or if, God forbid, an employee dies at work, the employer would be liable under workers' comp. So an employee who's affected by an unsafe workplace can have a workers' comp claim. If a worker dies, their loved ones can file a workers' comp claim for death. So it's not like you go into court and file a usual wrongful death case. It would follow the workers' comp rules. You'd have to file for workers' comp under your state policy, but the employer would ultimately be held liable that way.
Workers' comp, but not a criminal penalty, is what you're suggesting.
Well, that may be up to state authorities. But from a worker's perspective, the remedy is the workers' comp claim.
Let's get move to another question, if we could, from Sonia in New Hampshire.
My truck driver husband has Crohn's disease, an autoimmune disease. He is active and eats organically. He's concerned about his health at his job. He's trying to do what he can, but he is scared. What is being done by our government to help our most vulnerable workers?
Shannon?
So, it sounds like your husband he has a pre-existing medical condition which might make him more susceptible to a negative reaction to the coronavirus, so he might be more vulnerable. So workers who are more susceptible to it, in particular, if they're working for employers who haven't closed because they're essential workers, but they still don't feel safe going to work, again, like I just said, they may have a conversation with the employer about whether or not they can take paid sick leave under the employer's policy. Congress just passed in March, on March 18th, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which expands sick pay. It's really far from perfect, but it expands it on a national level. Exempts employers that have more than 500 employees, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's a compromise that Congress came to. And also small employers who have less than 50 employees are able to get an exemption from it. And it looks like the Labor Department just put out guidelines that it's making it pretty easy for small employers to get out of it. So that is a pretty limited protection, but it is something. And again, there's unemployment. A lot more people are going to be eligible now to collect unemployment than would have been before. And your husband may be eligible to collect unemployment, even if the workplace is still open, if there's a particular reason, reasonable reason, for him to feel he can't go to work because of the pandemic.
In the minute we have left, Shannon, if somebody who was considered, I hear theme music, so it seems to me I've, if you have a question for Shannon Liss Reardon, you can send it to us at npr.org. If somebody's in a non-essential business and their employer says you've got to show up anyway, can they say no?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. I think if your employer is breaking the rules, for one thing, you can contact state authorities or local authorities. Some of them have said they're going to enforce these stay-at-home orders with a fine for businesses that don't comply. If you inform your employer that you don't feel it's appropriate for you to go to work because this violates a rule, again, I would recommend put it in writing.
Shannon Liss Reardon, thank you so much for joining us. You can hear more of our extensive coverage when you download the NPR One app. Up next, a labor... This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR.